Wednesday, April 25th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, as usual, the mainstream media is pumping out everything they can to keep the American people from focusing on the truth, the largest one being that the OPCW just told Russia that it found no evidence of chemical weapons at the site of the U.S. bombing, which demolishes yet another lie around the recent events in Syria, which is likely why the U.N. was doing all it could to keep the OPCW away under false security concerns while independent journalists came and went, and how the mainstream Syria narrative in general has completely collapsed. One of the most absurd ways in which it has tried to create a scandal out of thin air to distract from this embarrassment was in regard to Trump's pick to head the VA. I mean, can we not acknowledge the absolute absurdity of focusing on the fact that a doctor is handing out medications? They like the idea that they're saying he was called the candy man. He was just kind of willy-nilly handing out pills to everybody without, I mean, it's even if this was bad, even if he was just doing it and he wasn't supposed to, how hypocritical it is to point this out while this is exactly what's happening everywhere around this country every single day, handing out Ambien and pills and Xanax and just everything they can give the American people to keep them docile and quiet. And it's just, it blows my mind to see that this is the focus, that, oh my God, they're talking about handing out Ambien to the president. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And again, I'm not even taking a stance on whether I think he should be the person for the job or whether what he did was wrong. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that this is the front story, at least it was up and through throughout the day, the main story being pushed that, oh my God, Americans, we should be focusing on this story. It's literally it was created out of nothing. And I mean, he's even countering some of these claims, but the point is that while the American people are medicated up to their ears in every possible way, and the opiate epidemic is continuing to skyrocket despite claims that they're doing something about it, the fact that the possible appointment for the VA position is handing out Ambien to people and then giving them something else to wake up, that's a scandal. This is mainstream journalism today, and it kind of makes you laugh. I mean, we know this is all meant to distract, and it's ridiculous. But the point I always like to make here is that they know this is ridiculous. And as we always point out, it's not their choice. It's not like these news anchors are out there drumming up leads and investigating claims. No, they're patiently awaiting the government-mandated discussion points handed down from their puppet masters so they know what they're supposed to say, how they're supposed to say it, and what sort of fake outrage they're supposed to express. Even the least important story we're going to go over today is monumentally more important than just about every story on these mainstream media front pages today. Yet I would imagine most of you know that by now, but it's fun and necessary to point out sometimes. And hopefully it catches the eye of that one viewer who was sent here, who was sent this video by some loving friend or family member, and just desperately wants you to see that this is glaringly obvious and it's something that should begin to stand out to you. So hopefully this caught their eye and hopefully it got the job done. Let's get into some of the news from today. Coming from globalresearch.ca, U.S. Department of Agriculture killed 1.3 million native animals in 2017. The arm of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, known as Wildlife Services, killed more than 1.3 million native animals during 2017, according to new data released by the agency last week. The multi-million-dollar federal wildlife killing program targets wolves, coyotes, cougars, birds, and other animals for destruction, primarily to benefit the agriculture industry. Of the 2.3 million animals killed in total last year, more than 1.3 million were native wildlife species. Quote, the Department of Agriculture needs to get out of the wildlife slaughter business, said Colette Adkins, a biologist and attorney at the Center of Biological Diversity. There's just no scientific basis for continuing to shoot, poison, and strangle more than a million animals every year. Even pets and endangered species are being killed by mistake as collateral damage. According to the latest report, the federal program last year killed 357 gray wolves, 69,041 adult coyotes, plus an unknown number of coyote pups and 393 destroyed dens, 624,845 red-winged blackbirds, 552 black bears, 319 mountain lions, 101 bobcats, 675 river otters, including 587 killed unintentionally, 3,827 foxes, plus an unknown number of fox pups in 128 dens, and 23,646 beavers. The program also killed 15,933 prairie dogs outright, as well as an unknown number killed in more than 38,452 burrows that were destroyed or fumigated. These figures almost certainly underestimate the actual number of animals killed, as program insiders have revealed the Wildlife Services kills many more animals than it reports. According to the new data, the Wildlife Killing Program unintentionally killed nearly 3,000 animals last year, including wolves, badgers, bears, bobcats, foxes, muskrats, otters, porcupines, raccoons, and turtles. Its killing of non-target birds included chickadees, bluebirds, cardinals, ducks, eagles, hawks, swans, and owls. Dozens of domestic animals, including pets and livestock, were also killed. Such data revealed the indiscriminate nature of painful leg hold traps, strangulation snares, poisons, and other methods used by federal agents. The Wildlife Killing Program contributed to the decline of gray wolves, Mexican wolves, black-footed ferrets, black-tailed prairie dogs, and other imperiled species during the first half of the 1990s and continues to impede recovery today. And guess whose tax dollars pay for all of this to be carried out? Now, I know I could have probably left some of that information out, but the point that I really wanted to get across here is that, first of all, that most are probably completely unaware that this is even carried out. When I first read this, it blew my mind to see how many animals are being killed for whatever purpose. I mean, this is absolutely crazy to understand, and to realize that our tax dollars are paying for this to be carried out, I would imagine that's pretty shocking to some of you out there. And I know maybe some people kind of scoff at the idea of animals in general, but I personally find this to be a very big deal. And I think this is something that nobody seems to know about and kind of needs to be more important today. Moving on to the next story, coming from the MiddleEastMonitor.com, second Palestinian journalist dies covering Gaza marches. Palestinian journalist Ahmed Abu Hassin today succumbed to his wounds after being shot by Israeli snipers while covering mass protests near Gaza's eastern border. Abu Hassin is the second journalist to have been killed while covering the protests. On the 6th of April, a Palestinian photographer was shot in the abdomen while covering the protest near Gaza's border with Israel. At the time, he was wearing a blue flak jacket with the word press clearly written on it. He died of his wounds in hospitals the following day. This is something that we covered when it happened, and it continues to get absolutely no coverage in the mainstream media, or the Western media, I should say. Another story coming from Consortium News, Israelis continue to open fire on Gaza protesters, eyewitness accounts. I mean, this is something that has continued to increase, and without even batting an eye, it seems like the Western media does not care. It's because they don't. There's an agenda behind all of the things we're seeing, just like I talked about in the very beginning, and this highlights the most disgusting display of hypocrisy that we can see today, that we're openly willing to call out other countries for things that we now see were completely fabricated, and now we're looking at it actually happening here, with journalists being shot, and we even saw the videos of you know, average civilians being sniped down and them jumping and, you know, screaming about it. And it's just, I mean, I could list off 13 different examples of the last couple of weeks that is gross human rights violations. And the fact that, you know, that it's just getting no attention from the Western media. And it's exactly what the U.S. claims to be fighting in other places. I mean, I don't know how many times they need to drill this point in, but the fact that we've now seen two journalists killed by snipers under the guise of you know, I mean, I don't even know the rational explanation for why they say they're doing this. I honestly don't think they need one today. I think the point is that they're showing us that they don't care. I mean, we just talked about with the fact that Israel openly said that everyone in Gaza is a terrorist, or, you know, paraphrasing. They basically alluded to that. And then we saw a representative of the U.S. government stand up in front of a press conference and skirt every possible question about what's going on in Gaza today, and literally would refuse to admit the fact that civilians are dying. It just has to show you that there is an agenda behind this, or at the very least, a political motivation to not call out U.S. allies for exactly the same thing they're calling other people out, or even worse, and they're actually happening here as opposed to being created and staged in order to carry out something else. That has to begin to stand out, and I think that's something that this needs to be pushed in front of people who are not seeing this because they're fixated on the mainstream talking points. Moving on to the next story, coming from naturalblaze.com, the peanut allergy vaccine. Of all food allergies, those to peanuts are the most common today, yet no one in the scientific or medical community seems to know why. Without addressing the cause, the CDC wants to roll up your sleeve and to inject you with a new vaccine based on research in mice using immune therapy to alter the immune system's response to prevent peanut allergies. As the author writes, if you think that vaccines are being repurposed, you would be right. While the original vaccine model trains the immune system to recognize the invaders and mount an efficient defense the next time the invaders are present, vaccinating against allergens requires teaching the immune system to ignore these proteins. This is something that John Rappaport's written a lot about, in the idea that it's morphed into something actually where it's no longer about trying to fight the actual problem. It's about changing the body to make the problem obsolete. And that is a very scary concept when you understand where that leads and the motivations behind that. And just like we recently discussed, and it actually talks about this in this article itself, the rise in allergies such as peanuts, which is the largest one today, it's actually illegal to bring peanuts or peanut butter into most schools today, was actually, we saw the rise of peanut allergies in the 1990s, and it directly correlates with the rise in vaccines given at birth and at childhood. And there's much more correlation than that. I highly recommend you read all the articles in the show notes, and this one in particular, to understand what this is really getting at. And as the author adds at the end, ironically, the onset of the peanut allergy epidemic coincides with the onset of refined peanut oil as an ingredient in vaccines. I mean, it's really, we have to begin to see that these companies, they have historically, even verifiably, will put profit before anything else. And it should not be beyond belief, beyond possibility, that this was all part of the plan. One more vaccine to treat one more problem they created. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, if not trillion today. And it's something that there's so much, the conflict of interest and the manipulation and deceit and corruption just completely embedded in this industry has been well documented. And it's something that has to begin to stand out when we're seeing this kind of thing, where it's all of a sudden something, oh, well, here's another vaccine to treat this problem, when we know it's something that most likely, almost verifiably, was caused by the same thing they're trying to give you today. It's staggering to see this happen, but hopefully more people are beginning to wake up to this, because I think at one point this was something that was one of the largest kind of reflexive dismissal ideas, where you talked about vaccines and it's like, oh, you're crazy, conspiracy theorist. But now I think we're starting to begin to see there's more to this story than we originally thought. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, top secret, DoD building $110 million drone base in Niger. The United States Department of Defense is building a new $110 million drone base in Niger, adding to its existing footprint of more than 800 military bases in more than 70 countries. Ron Paul has often pointed out that the United States is present in 53 of 54 countries in Africa. And I would argue today that's probably all 54 and we don't even realize it. We've seen all kinds of stories popping up about Niger, and how we have to remember that the United States government openly lied about being there in the first place, until we find out that U.S. soldiers were dying there. And the stories about soldiers being left behind and being shot in the head, I mean, all kinds of crazy stories that I'll include in the show notes, but the fact that it was lied about, and we have really no justification to be there in the first place, this it continues to frustrate me when I see this happen. One of our old writers, Tim Bryant, wrote an excellent article called The Forgotten Continent, writing about how Africa has been cultivated into the thing it is today, so its resources can be taken. I mean, all kinds of different reasons. But it is, you see, the Western powers have their thumb on this continent in order to manipulate all of the money and the resources and everything they can, and really suck it dry, as we see coups take place so they can put in Western-backed leaders to make it easier to control. I mean, it goes on and on. And then we wonder why it's still in the state it is in so many ways. But the fact that we're now seeing this happen in Niger, it's frustrating to see this, how it's very focused on control and has nothing to do with this country. As the author writes, as the disastrous legacy of the U.S. military failure is more than evident today in the Middle East, it seems as Americans' military leaders are about to test their luck in perhaps the next round of wars in West and North African countries. How is this making America great again? I ask the very same question. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, and a positive one from collectiveevolution.com. This man one-ups Tesla by inventing an electric car that never needs charging. The United States government has given Zimbabwe's prolific inventor, Maxwell Chikumbutso, a new home in its populous state of California. Chikumbutso is the founder of Safe Holdings Incorporated, under which he made headlines for his serial innovations, which include the world's first ever green power generator, which can produce electricity using radio frequencies, an electric-powered car which doesn't consume fuel, and many more. And as the author writes, right now he is residing in California. Why did they do this? Was it because they came across a revolutionary with the power to change the world? Or is it because they want to keep that which threatens their entire geopolitical framework close to home so they can keep an eye on it and control it? Who knows? But it's always important to question the intentions of our government. As reported by the Federation of American Scientists, there were over 5,000 inventions that were under secrecy orders at the end of fiscal year 2014, which marked the highest number of secrecy orders in effect since 1994. Stephen Aftergood from the Federation of American Scientists reported, quote, "The 1971 list indicates that patents for solar photovoltaic generators were subject to review and possible restrictions if the photovoltaics were more than 20% efficient. Energy conversion systems were likewise subject to review and possible restriction if they offered conversion efficiencies in excess of 70 to 80%. Now, I think this is amazing news that we're seeing this kind of thing come to light. I mean, I'd like to see this get more coverage, and that's the point the article makes, is something like this, such a huge innovation that could literally change the world, is getting absolutely no coverage while they're talking about the VA and other kind of ridiculous stories in the mainstream media today, when we have something that just got invented, which, like many in the past, they could actually change the world for the better. But the point is we're seeing here is that there's these things like this are controlled and shut down. And we saw, like he just quoted there, it literally, they made the point to say that if it was more than 20% efficient, it got locked under secrecy orders for national security. I mean, and it's hardly national security, it's corporate security. That's what it comes down to. And it's very interesting to see this happen. But I think it's great news to see this come to light. It just, we need to continue to spread this around so more people see it, and we could actually see a really positive change here. But I think at the end of the day, with the way this is happening, we have to begin to see that all the actions we see around the world and at home are rooted in the preservation of the systems that have been cemented into place, the highly profitable systems, at least for a select few, that have fought back any kind of innovation in ways that might actually keep you up at night in order to protect that profit structure. If we cannot see that by now, then I offer that you may simply be ignoring what you do not wish to acknowledge. This same idea applies to the military-industrial complex and what we're seeing happen overseas. Just imagine what this country might have been like should those powerful entities have been fought back like the parasites they are. Imagine the kind of world we could have built by now. I often point out how far we have come in just the last 100 years in regard to automobiles, aircrafts, defense. Yet certain things have oddly stayed stagnant, and forcefully so. With all we know today and the seemingly endless resources and advancements that are put toward weapons and militaristic endeavors, ask yourself why we have not chosen to address some of the world's most obvious roadblocks to some of the world's largest threats. Ask yourself why those who break through those roadblocks with truly altruistic intentions and desires to cure disease or move us past fossil fuels or revolutionize our perspective on health and the human body in ways that might make the current band-aid on a bullet hole pharmaceutical focus obsolete, or simply those who just truly want to change the world for the better, always have a way of being stifled, controlled, or bought out, and their ideas shelved under corporate lock and key until it can be patented, packaged, and sold for a profit. Change is inevitable, but it's high time that we made that change happen on our terms and for our benefit, and not that of some faceless, nefarious company's bottom line. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.